Hey everybody, it was March 4th, 2021. This is Geeks Next Door, episode number 252. Wow, do we got a show tonight. WandaVision goes crazy. We're talking about Paramount Plus coming online. Coming to America 2's everywhere right now. And if you like Hugh Grant, then you're probably going to love the next D&D movie. Yeah, that's a stretch, but anyways. We got a great show. Cue the music.
This is where we turn up the party. All night feels good, we can't decide it. This is where we turn up the party. All night feels good, we can't decide it. Turn up the party, turn up the party. Party, party, turn up the party.
All right, how's it going, guys? You have a good week, huh? What's happening? How are you feeling? Tell me.
Good.
Wait, that's not how you start a podcast. Chris.
I know. I started it.
I'm like 252 of them, and that is not the correct way to do it.
I'm trying something new, so it just trying something new. I was hoping nobody would notice after 250 episodes, but yeah, we'll try something new. We'll see how it sounds. We're live. We're going right now. So, Adam, thanks really? For being such a team player, man.
Hey, is the thing you're trying to do trying to make us look stupid? Is that what you're trying to do?
I would not have to try, and you know that.
True. That's true.
Oh, how's it, what's new with the world, huh? Tell me.
Hey, you know, I saw Mickey the other day. He was walking around. He had a black leather coat on, and there was a fucked up cat with a smushed in face. And he was carrying it around outside.
Nope, I was pushing
in Maple Grove. Wait, what?
No, I was pushing mine with the stroller.
That makes more sense. Yeah, that sounds more like Mickey.
Yeah, you had me until a stroller. That's a different dude.
All I saw was some guy walking around with a
creepy
cat.
Creepy mustache?
Yeah, dark hair.
Creepy mustache, bowler hat, you know.
Right?
No, like, I saw Mickey the other day. And he was on stage in front of a crowd with this really big white deep V jumpsuit on, singing "We Would Rock You." And I was like, "Wow, that guy's fucking the pipes on Mickey is really fucking great."
You know why?
Then he died of AIDS, and then I was like, "You know, Mickey, I'm sad."
He's got some extra teeth in his mouth, so he can.
Yeah, it's like it helps him sing so well.
I hit four octaves.
Yeah, right. I found out Mickey was gay when I watched a documentary about him. The movie documentary. I'm sorry that you died, but it's good to have you on the podcast.
Probably should have his ass. We could have got somewhere with that.
Have you guys been enjoying the nice weather outside in Minnesota?
The runs I've been going on. Oh, the deep, like the runs. The sweat that has been pouring from my pores.
I'm sorry you have the runs, but I have a question. I think we should try as an exercise to come to a consensus about what order we think people enjoy the weather best at. Now, I think Adam is number one because Adam has to work outside in the weather. So I think Adam's number one. I don't know. Yeah. Does anybody think they enjoy the weather more than Adam work-wise?
It's hard to judge.
Well, you say Adam. Work-wise, that just kind of takes it to a
get rid of Ryan. And
I was just saying work-wise because that is such a big impact for Adam. So I think it's Adam. I think Adam enjoys the shift in cold to warm more than any of us.
I enjoy a rainy day, working in a rainy day, better than anything else. But yeah, warm
or
cold. It's just no old people on the road. They're all hiding in truck.
Is that actually true? Is that why the roads are clear and you can move quickly?
There's less people on the road and all the old people don't come out because it's raining.
That way he can go full Twisted Metal with his FedEx truck.
Yeah, it fucks with their like zygote or whatever.
Their zygote?
Thank you.
They're all like, my knees hurting. It's raining.
I didn't know Adam hated old people that much.
He does. He really? Fucking hates them so much.
Oh, man.
Sometimes he just runs them off the road when he can. Right.
You know, haven't you heard him when he talks about, like, those old people that lived up the road from him? He's like, there's these two old ladies, these old biddies, that are always causing me fucking trouble.
They always come over to my house for some reason.
Right. And they're always just causing fucking drama.
So see, Adam's worst day of the week is Wednesdays.
We're not allowed to have fucking ham and shit like that.
Otherwise known as Blue Hair Day, because that's when they all go out and get their specials.
All right, I'm going to rank them, and then you guys can decide, and you can rank your own. I think it's Adam,
gonna come.
Me, okay. Dave, Mickey, and then Ryan, and then Dave too. That's my feeling, and I can back this up with proof and facts, but I'm curious what you guys think.
Cold hard facts?
Cold hard facts.
Hard facts. Okay, I just want to make sure that those are the kind of facts.
I think I appreciate warm weather more than you, my ranking recognizes.
No, I think you appreciate it, but I think based on my scientific analysis and data and chalkboards that doesn't mean that we all don't appreciate it. You just appreciate it fifth last. That doesn't, like,
oh, no.
You're still like 92%, but you're just not at the 108%. So, you know what I'm saying?
Well, like, I'm going to say I might appreciate it. Here, let me just draw my own conclusion. I'm going to appreciate it, the number one. You guys all suck, especially you, Chris. And beyond that, I would say the reason that you may see a distinction here is that I also appreciate days when I'm not outside, and I appreciate that, like, number one, too. So my appreciation is just generally higher, so the difference is less.
Nope.
And
sorry.
You're viewing the difference.
I reject your hypothesis. Come up with a new one.
I do really like it when it's nice, though.
I bet you do.
I would like to amend.
You don't like it outside?
Okay.
Ryan, you like it number one.
All right.
Chris's statement.
Okay.
Say,
who
takes the most advantage of being outside?
Is that like a sex thing? Because I don't know. I'll give you my reasons, and then you can argue my reasons. I think Adam enjoys the change from super cold to not as cold because he works outside the most. I think I enjoy it second most because I'm outside a shit ton of time. I think Dave does because he kind of does like warehouse thing and sometimes it's cold in there. I think then Mickey, because although he works inside, he likes to go outside and do stuff and does disc golf. Ooh, Mickey and Dave might be back and forth. And then I think you, because you like to go for bike rides. And I think Dave too, because he sits inside and plays D&D with his kids, which is super fun, but doesn't matter what temperature is. Bam! There you go. Scientific fact.
I'm pretty sure I spend the most time outside in the group by far. I think that's not even close.
I love being outside.
Okay. But there's a lot of things. Like
I agree. Whatever we say, Mickey has surpassed Chris on the list. Let's further refine this.
You understand?
I'm sure.
Disc golf.
I'm sure.
Disc golf.
I disc golf. I camp. I hike. My weekends are outside.
This guy over here, right here. This guy.
I am the biggest outdoorsman in the group by far. I paddleboard twice a week.
Okay, right now?
In the winter?
No, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's cold outside.
I'm comparing myself.
Mickey's sitting on the ice, group. Paddling in the ice. It's not working.
Let me just ask you a question. How much fishing gear and canoes do you own?
I own a boat. I have a cabin on a lake. One canoe.
Well, now you're just bragging. Boat. Rich motherfucker.
We're talking about enjoying the weather. Well, dude, yeah. Ryan, competitive about this game.
I'm like,
he's had like 15, 16 top 20 hits. You know, we saw that fucking movie about him.
But here's the thing, Mickey, you don't care if it's cold outside, you still do your shit. That's the difference.
We haven't got to the second part of what I was trying to say. I got interrupted with the, you know, because
anybody else want to talk? Because this guy is way too much. Who else wants to talk?
I may spend the most time outside in this group by far. I mean, all year round. But I don't care about the weather as much either. I'm very weather tolerant. I like it all.
You're so racist. All right, who else? Who else has got theories?
Says the guy who gets paid to be outside.
You're not outside in your truck, buddy. I do not call that outside.
I do. A FedEx truck? Have you been in one? It's fucking cold. Anyway,
effectively outside. That sliding door does not prevent anything from coming in.
Yeah.
It does not get hotter than 45 degrees.
Right.
Even like on 95 degree days, it's only 45 in there for some
exactly.
reason.
Exactly.
Right. It's like putting a sheet up on your fort in the house and saying, hey, I've built the door. It's not keeping anything out.
Which is why you may be the one that enjoys the change in weather the most.
That's why I gave it to him. So we're all going to agree, Adam wins. I mean, that's all I wanted from you guys. Adam win.
Well,
right. I think you appreciate it for those just the times when you go, it's so cold. Adam's like, you bang your hand on something when your hands are freezing, and you're like, I think I broke all the fingers in my hand. And you're just like, when it's so cold, yeah. And you're like, yep.
And then I look at my hands like,
you're like, it's like, if they're all broken, I can go home. And Ryan,
all I see is Dave, two of them plotting.
So
He's like, how can I win this somehow?
So Ryan's got to go towards the bottom. I rank things towards the based on facial hair now.
Ryan wins almost all the time. That's the problem. That's why I gave I gave this one to Adam.
I want to
hear Deep Two's opinion on this. I think this hasn't gotten a fair.
I agree.
You know, D two and D one have to speak for themselves.
But now, I will say Ryan has probably shaved the most facial hair other than me, so he wins on that. What's up? Oh, facial hair winner.
Shaved his own facial hair.
For some reason, I'm not competitive about this facial hair thing. So don't worry about me. I'm like, so day two. What do you say? Tell me about your feelings about outdoors and life in general.
Boy Scouts.
They're going to snort too. I love being outdoors. I love doing the camping and doing that kind of stuff and being outside and doing that thing. But I mean, to sit here and say I love it more than you guys, I mean, that's
arrogant.
I can't do it. I just can't.
You're a modest man. Everyone always says that. Dave, too? He's modest. You know, unlike Mickey jackass.
If Chris says I'm at the bottom of the ranking because I play D&D with my boys,
then,
hey, that's okay.
It's not. You guys are taking this wrong. Bottom and top. Okay.
I think it's like a fraction of percentage of a difference between us all.
So yeah, you have to, but we still have to rank. That's what we do. All we do here is rank things. We know this.
We need winners. There's a winners and losers. You're either a winner or you're a loser. There can only be one winner, and the rest of you are losers. That's all. That's life.
The way he's wording it, I'm at the bottom. I'll take the bottom on this one.
We know. I was like, I will power bottom the stuff out of everything. I'm like, once again, I have seen that movie where he writes various hit songs.
Okay.
And he power bottoms.
Okay, we're not going to agree on this, but I think what we can agree on is we got some motherfucking answers this week on WandaVision, didn't we? We all know all the answers now. The mystery is gone. We know everything. Everyone is good. The internet loves it. And segues. So, Mickey, why don't you recap what happened this week?
I like that nuclear segue. You were like, we need to end this, and Ryan's not going to let it happen. There's only one way to move on. And I'm gonna allow it just because... You went with the big guns. So
are you really allowing it with that whole little thing that you just did?
Yeah, kind of. It's a half. Okay.
It's a flex. I mean, it's a flex allowance. He's like, I'll flex a little bit before I allow.
It's super nice that Ryan's using his white privilege to allow the rest of us.
Hey, he's got veto power. That's all I'm saying. He's a white man with veto power. That's the most dangerous thing in politics.
He's the most white man, Adam.
I don't think I was the most.
No, I'm giving Adam. I'm giving Adam one of my percentages.
Do you ever think that Ryan do that. Is tough?
How many do you have?
0.3. I think
like 8 of them. I have like 8 percentages.
You ever? So you have 0.8.
No, I wasn't actually the high percentage. I'll find my thing.
Was okay, it 93 so, or what? 97? All right, sorry. Go ahead.
I was driving around today, and I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if Ryan's actually an Asian dude. And he's got really, 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 really light skin.
What?
Oh, what were you smoking?
Because he's good at math. We get it, you racist bastard.
I like it.
That's why he hates black people so much.
Oh, that could be.
That's like, first of all, a lie. Second of all, racist.
Although, Adam, I like where you win. He's not denying it.
I know. If you're not, it's not because you're Asian, then why is it?
Good point. I guess maybe I am Asian.
All right, we're not going to agree on how racist Ryan is, but we all can agree that WandaVision was a good episode, huh? Remember what happened? Things happened. We got answers. Let's talk about it. It was called something about past prologue.
Something about reruns.
No, it was previously on. It was previously on.
Previously on.
And we got basically the origin story, which probably should have been around episode 4 or 5, but we digress. And we got to see Agatha, what'd you guys, that was a fucking metal opening, wasn't it? She's like, da, 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 and she's like, oh my god, I'm gonna eat all your souls, and she's like, I can be good.
Bye, Mom.
Yeah, but you didn't know if she was actually good or not. What do you guys think? What? Was she trying to be good? Can she be good, or is she just evil?
I don't think she's trying to be good.
We know that she's the Scarlet Witch now.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Where you're jumping like all the way to the end.
No, no, no. You jump. What the fuck? What do you guys think of this Agatha opening? Well, the Scarlet Witch said.
Well, the final two words.
Agatha's the Scarlet Witch. That's pretty cool.
Hopefully, our audience has watched it.
Oh, pff, then they're in the wrong place otherwise. No, well, so,
if they made it through that fucking long-winded opening about how Ryan loves the outside, they deserve it.
Yeah, I didn't know Ryan had such an affinity for being indoors.
I loved it when she was sucking people's souls, but it didn't seem like when she was done sucking souls, it kind of seemed like she still wanted, like there was a place for redemption. Like she realizes how to get power and she's not completely evil and she's like, no, we could try to work with this. And they're like, no, you are evil. You can't be good. And then she sucks her soul too. Good shit.
But I mean, she's sucking the souls of other witches, so we don't know the good-bad factor from the people that she killed, you know? She might have been doing their world a favor. These are probably the biggest child eaters of the world in the entire witch world.
They're not Democrats.
A little torn to me, like, okay, yes, I've been practicing this, but you know, we can't all get along. They start attacking her, and then she seemed to be a little shocked that she was absorbing their power.
I thought so too, a little bit.
Not the mother part, but the rest of them. By the mother, she knew what she was doing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at the beginning, she's like, okay, yeah, I can take you out through this.
But, yeah, that was pretty badass. I don't think that cast her as evil in that scenario. I mean, she was surprised. She never attacked first. She was surprised by all of it. And
that's weird. I took it totally the other way.
Really? I didn't. How did you take it? That she meant for this to happen?
She was straight up very evil.
Really? Why?
Because... So she came in with this sort of, I didn't do anything. I don't know what you're talking about, which we know was clearly a lie because she did do stuff and she knew of it. So she was, so we now know she's good at pretending like she's innocent. And then when her mother, her own damn mother,
I don't think it was her mother. I think it was the coven that called them a mother. I don't think it was
whatever.
Mother. Anyways.
Either way, they said she was basically too dark to be redeemed.
Yeah, which, like, I don't agree with.
And that seemed to reference the past, not so much the fact that she just sucked souls, although she did just suck souls. To me, she had just shown like a tendency to continually do evil, and this was just like the climactic conclusion of her.
Yeah, I think that's what... I think that's the surface view, yeah. And that might be completely right. I read it as she's been doing the Doctor Strange thing, trying to reach for powers that she's not ready for, and some of them are kind of evil shit that... Remember Doctor Strange? He's like creating portals and taking books behind Wong and shit, and he's not supposed to be. He didn't get what was going to be executed. She got executed for doing that same thing, but instead she had defensive measures in place to, like, you try to kill me, I take your energy.
I don't even know if they're in place. It might have been part of the
they're in place because
I don't think she's good.
Like,
don't get me wrong.
Like, no.
I don't think she's evil though either.
Right. I think like anything, it's like she was like, hey, there's more things that, like, someone says, hey, here's all these cool books. You can read these ones, but don't read these ones. And then as a younger person, you look at them and you're like, eh. You look at them and you're like, well, what's wrong with these, dude? Why can I not read these things? You know, and she didn't think there was anything wrong with reading whatever books. And when, having just watched it again, like, it looks like it's not a active reaction that happens. They're hitting with all this blue power, boom, and then all of a sudden it goes like out of her, and then she's like looking around.
Yeah,
she in startle and amazement that all of a sudden this blue energy that's hit her is now almost reflecting out of her as purple energy. So whatever's in her is also reflecting out and taking. And I went, okay, purple energy, say good energy or whatever. Whatever color energy, it doesn't really matter right now, is blue. Whatever that coven's witch power is blue, right? Whatever is making this purple energy is red. So red and blue make purple. So it's a visual, you know, medium. Like, she has blue energy most of the time, but then she also has read things about that have given her chaos magic or whatever, and purple energy is now coming out of her. And does she like it? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. She's surprised that this power is coming out of her, but is she mad at having this more power at these? Basically, she's going, like, she's justified it in her head, like, they attacked me first, now I can I can take it back. She doesn't want her mom to attack her because her mom doesn't use her energy at her at all until, like, the very end. She manifested the blue crown and then goes like, boom, you are basically, you can't do this. Everyone's dead. Everyone sucked before she even joins the fray.
That was cool, too, that crown. I like that. That it was like, she's got, she flies, right. And she's like, so, I got crown magic! And she went crazy.
Said suck.
Like, I just think she's broken rules. I think she was doing it to be evil. I don't think she was doing it to be evil. It was basically like, you know, she was tempted by the dark side. She said maybe there was someone, like a Palpatine-esque character, who was like, hey, you know, why don't you read this book? And she's like, yeah, why don't I read that book? Why is there a rule? And then she's in her head, subconsciously or whatever, and she's like, hey, man, this book isn't that bad. Yeah, that book's not that bad. You know, why is your mom not wanting to? Is she jealous of you? You know, basically all these things manipulating her slowly over time. She didn't start off evil. She just got pushed there.
Power hungry, like so many of us.
Isn't power hungry usually like the hallmark of the like let's say the motivation turned out to be she just, you know, was like manipulated. But now okay. 400 years later or whatever, she's still basically her whole purpose is to try to understand how someone's doing something powerful because she wants to understand it. Like, she seems like she's power hungry to the point of fault, which to me is a way of being evil.
She reminds me of she reminds me of Loki. Was Loki evil? Like, when he had the Infinity Stone and was making and attacking New York, was he evil?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, but we don't see him as an evil character. We see him as a mischievous, happy character.
But like, even in like, I agree. Like in Thor, like when his motivation is all like, yeah, okay, you took me from my people, you lied to me about who I was, all this stuff. I'm super mad. I also just happen to be super powerful, so I'm gonna act out. Like, you know, if a kid acts out, even if he's an adult and 2,000 years old, he acts out, but he just happens to have a power of a quote unquote god, you know. The repercussions are going to seem big and evil from our point of view.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter, I guess, if she sees herself as doing good or bad or vice versa or whatever, you know, it's what we perceive. And that's for everybody individually to decide. I don't think she's a good person and I think she's doing bad things, but I don't think that she's like, she the epitome of evil. I think she's doing it because of power reasons or whatever, but regardless.
You can go either way.
Yeah, I don't think the character's going anywhere, in other words. I think it's going to be one of these characters that we find out that... Like, I don't want to jump to the end. So let's just go through...
What happens next?
Yeah, what happens next? We start seeing Wanda's memories, which were cool. It's like we get to see extra stuff that happened in other movies. It's great.
So yeah, we start with her, you know, what Agatha's like, trying to figure out, you know, she's like, I'm here, I'm trying to figure out where you came from, where your powers are coming from. I don't understand. You know, she's really trying to dig in on where the powers come from. So the first thing she's trying to do, she's trying to explain that, you know, I've been trying to draw it out of you, trying to find out why you've been acting like this, why you were able to do all this. And so, well, let's go back. Let's go back in time. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at your life. And so we start off with the whole bombing, right?
But even before that, I think some things that are really telling are saying when she's like, Wanda tries to use her powers, and she's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, do you not see, though? Those are, like, fucking protection runes. That's, like, basic-ass magic. What are you doing? Like, basically, that's, like, you should have learned that stuff. Like,
yeah.
It's basically saying, like, she keeps going, like, how are you so goddamn powerful and not with magic and not know these basic-ass stuff? Like, this is fucking transmutation. And Ryan must have been, like, 8 boners. Like, yeah, transmutation.
Holy eight.
Simple necromancy wouldn't work. You know, they're basically, she's listing spell schools. Like, this is an illusion. Basically, like, I'm making this thing look like something else. Yeah. Now actually changing it is something else. Necromancy won't work. Yeah.
And that's where I was kind of picking up where, like, Agatha's motive behind why she's doing these things is to figure out what or who Wanda is, where her powers come from, because to her, it doesn't make sense. Like you said, Dave, she doesn't recognize the the witch's 101 type spells. She doesn't recognize the writing. She doesn't recognize runes. She just seems to be able to do things, manifest reality, and you know, create things. But you know, I guess it's like, well, how do you do that? Well, I don't know. It just happens.
Yeah, it's like she can cast time stop, but is confused by detect magic. She's like, what? You never heard of detect magic? I thought that whole scene was pretty clunky, but I enjoyed it because of magic schools. It just felt clunky the way they did it.
Right.
They're trying to be fast.
And they're trying to give information to the audience. I understand that. It just felt weird.
Quickly. Kind of
clunky. Yes. It's
everybody's saying, here's why you can't destroy her with your red power.
Yes.
They were talking to people that are not geeks.
Which is funny because it's in a show that is specifically designed for a certain kind of person that really watches stuff.
Dave Tu's wife. Yes. Which we'll get to in a second. Or in a while. Probably an hour from now, for all I know. But yeah, so is that the first one then? Sokovia? We get the scene of Sokovia?
Yes. Yep, her as a little girl.
Okay.
Well, her dad coming in from selling videotapes in a war-torn city.
And I have a question for you guys about this scene.
Bootlegs.
Yep. They were bootlegs. Are pretty cool. Are we assuming that Agatha gave us correct information and that she actually did use a probability hex to deactivate the nuke in a way? Or is that just an assumption and it wasn't a dud? What do you guys think? Where do you stand on that?
There's a part of me that is saying that she's using the information he has and making a judgment based on what she thinks is happening. But then it's also she may be an unreliable narrator because, you know, you're in someone's memories, especially memories of the kid. Are those 100% clear? Not really, because she remembers, like, good things a certain way and bad things a certain way. So those are usually super heightened versus, you know, so I'm not 100% sure. I like the idea of her having some base level powers that she might not be able to control. And then, you know, that's why her family was okay for so long. And there's a part of me that goes, like, they were okay for so long because she was subtly manipulating reality around her, probabilities of things happening. But whenever she got sucked too much into watching her show and not paying attention to the world and bad shit happened, there's a part of me that wants that to happen. But.
Yeah, I took it more as Agatha is trying to explain. Just kind of explained the magic behind it, but in reality, it's like, no, it really was just a dud. She got, you know, I was like, nah, I was a dud. She got lucky, and this is Agatha just trying to make sense of, you know, trying to figure out why.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, her power was coming from the mind. You know,
it was quote, the first vision. She was
from,
guessing.
We know from previous movies, quote, right, that what they tell us is that she got the powers because of the Mind Stone. So at this time, I'm thinking, you know, Agatha's just trying to guess at it. You know, I'm not.
It's the first vision, she's guessing.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking that it was true.
Audience explanation.
I agree with Mickey and Dave, too, on that. I think she was just, she's trying to figure it out, and she's, like, working on her theory out loud.
Yeah. But, okay. I don't know, later scene of her being... Fucking! Every why would the Mind Stone pick her? Why would no one survive?
Yes.
Except for them.
Yes.
Because there was already something there. There was a piece of something already there.
That's what makes me think there might be something there, because everybody dies when they touch the Mind Stone, but yet she doesn't, and she has a vision of something that basically would assume if they're going with the Nexus being stuff, that that's who she is. She just had to be. I like. When movies give me information, I like to take it on truth until I'm told it's not truth. And if she says, oh, it's basic probability hex, you probably didn't even know you were doing it. You were just doing it because of the next scene where they're like, everybody has died touching this except for her. And she somehow got magnified and shit happened within her, which I thought was kind of a cool concept. But anyways, that was a cool scene. I liked that whole thing. It made me sad because she had a family that loved her and they watched movies and TV and show.
Another aspect of that is her age during that scene. You know, if we're going to the Inhuman / X-Men gene, they're going to start bringing that in. That stuff starts manifesting when you start getting to puberty, which is right around that 8 years old.
Hmm. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Ryan. Puberty.
Well, there's all sorts of X-Men references, and that's just another X-Men possibility.
Well, that's what brought me, you know, when we go to the next scene, right? When we're in the lab and they're ready to test the Mind Stone on her, and you know, they brought up the whole line of, you know, everyone else has died except for these, you know, except for her, and I'm going, well, and her brother. So I'm like, well, it has to be probably because they have the right gene. I mean, I was automatically just going to the whole mutant gene in my head.
The inhuman gene.
No, inhumans are...
I know.
They're entirely different.
I know.
I'm not talking about Terrigen Mist or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. Inhumans are Kree modified individuals, while mutants are celestial modified individuals. Yeah. They're entirely different.
God damn it, Mickey.
But wasn't them just trying to use a different explanation because they didn't own the rights to the X-Men explanation?
Yeah, oh, 100%. But like they're trying to backdoor powers.
That's all I'm referencing. Now we're pulling in the X-Men instead of using the Inhuman.
So yes, no, I thought that scene was really it was really well done. Like I really enjoyed just that whole scene. You know, first we get it kind of from her perspective, right? She's being drawn into or drawn towards the staff and the stone, and explodes, and we see this vision, and we can get more into the vision here in a little bit about the, you know, what we saw and all this and that, but at the same point that we see that perspective, from the perspective of the lab assistants, they don't see anything. Like she's still just standing there, and then ends up like collapsing or something like that. The staff is still sitting over there in perfect form, and the video glitched, you know, just like what we've seen in some of the previous episodes where she didn't want people to see things. The video screen glitches. You don't see anything happen. So I thought that was pretty cool. That was well done.
Yeah, I liked when they kept the mic on. They're like, next volunteer, Wanda Maximoff. Another one, huh? You know, they've all died. And then he's like, the other guy hits the mic because he's just basically saying out loud, ah, shit, they've all died.
But she was drawn in. I mean, there was a connection there.
It was good how they made sure to make the blue stone turn yellow or orange or whatever that color is. You know,
well, it exploded out of the blue crystal that it was housed in.
Amber is the color of your energy. Everybody knows.
Whoa.
Okay. So here's a question. How many figures did you see in the in that yellow, bright yellow vision?
Including Nick Fury? I'm pretty sure he was there. He's in everything.
Three.
I didn't see Vision there.
I just saw the one.
You keep saying Vision.
Well, I meant in the mind vision. I know. It's hard to... Yeah.
You're fine. I just saw the one, but I didn't pause it. I didn't pause it.
Yeah, because I saw the silhouette, and then when I watched it again, I was like, you know, what's that? There seems to be like another shape within the silhouette.
Hmm. But
so I thought it was kind
of
okay. Dude, it's basically the big thing. I saw it's her in fucking full gear, baby, like MCU version of the costume. Of the Scarlet Witch costume with helm and everything, with the crown, looking badass. And there's a part of me going like, is this her from the future? And I'm like, no, that's a time stone. Is it her from a different reality? And I'm like, oh, that would be great. Like another reality version of herself, making sure that this reality gets a version of herself.
That's interesting.
Because then there's a part of me that then I go, okay, if Wanda Maximoff is the villain of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, is it our Wanda that's the villain? Or is it another reality's version of Wanda Maximoff?
Speaking of which, it's kind of annoying. I thought we were getting this movie in May. We are, but May of next year.
Oh.
Yeah, because we get
fucking annoying. It's like you like your WandaVision. Well, next year you can watch the end of it, suckers. That's so annoying. It's annoying. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
It's annoying.
So that was that scene, and the last scene, wasn't there one more?
Yeah, the one where they go to the sex scene in the bed.
Oh, that was such a fun scene. Yeah, I love that scene. And apparently the internet hates that line that I thought was great, but fuck the internet, I guess.
That was like an awesome line.
Yeah, but the internet's like, this is pandering to fucking jerk-off writers are being jerk-offs. I'm like, you guys are fucking assholes.
What is grief but love persevering? That is awesome. That is like,
it's 100% in within Vision's character too, because I mean, in Ultron, his last line to Ultron is, "It's not beautiful because it lasts."
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's basically a variation on that theme, which we know he's already said. It's like he has, you know, things are beautiful because they don't last. Things, you know, like love is amazing in spite of bad things, you know, so that's part of his character. And I mean, you can't be mad at him because he is worthy and can hold Mjolnir.
When he's like, I mean, he's a raw person, right? You know, all his experiences are just, his information comes from experiences that are first of, not just like the world being cynical or being, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know. Over the years, whenever I have something cool, I add it to my signature and my Gmail account. I've added three things in my life, and this was the fourth. So over 22 years or something with the same Gmail account, I've added four things. So the internet can suck my ass is basically what I'm saying.
And I like the callback of him not using doors yet. He's not cool with doors yet. He still likes to go through the wall.
Okay, so that scene. Never mind. It's a great scene. I love it.
It was. It was cool. Like, he doesn't understand. Like, he literally says, "I don't understand what you're feeling, but you know what I'm gonna do? I'm just gonna be here with you. You do whatever you're gonna do. I'm going to just sit and watch and be in your, be with you. If you need me, I'm here. If you don't, I'm also here."
Well, I mean, it's very telling that that is something she does with people she, her family, people she loves. And then they watch movie, TV shows together. It was kind of cool. Yeah.
Well, then from there, we go to what, after the snap, right? We get to, you know, a couple weeks before.
Right.
No.
Well, maybe that was earlier. No, that was there. That was there. Yeah, that's where we find out that General Douchebag has been a douchebag because he's had his body all wrong, right?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. So she shows up at the facility demanding to see, to see Vision, to see the body. How dare they take the body? And so, you know, she goes there. He finally lets her in. He finally talks to her. Talks about, he's a weapon. He's a weapon.
You Mickey, I'm getting feedback on your thing.
Sorry about that.
Walk, you know, and she ends up just kind of breaking down and having that mental break over seeing him strewn apart. But I think the key there was she did not leave with the body. Instead, she gets in the car and drives away. Go ahead, Dave.
Because there was a little bit to it. It's like, basically, she's waiting for a long time. And the call is like, she's still here. And he finally goes like, let her in. It's like he was trying to be like, oh, shit, he's here. We don't have time to prepare. Let's fucking prepare this fucking charade to happen. It's all like, these are fucking advanced sword agents. Fucking sentry weapon, and he's strewn out. The way he's strewn out is not scientific in any way. It's basically like there for show. He is strewn out, fucking like he looks like he's been fucking drawn and quartered. His body, his arms are ripped off, his legs all drawn out. There's a guy who's like
literally cutting his face off. Right?
Face off. Yes, he's taking a grinder. That's not fucking technical at all. Why would you use a fucking hand grinder? That is someone where he's like, shit, just get a bunch of guys, put them on gear. Like, let's do it like he's
I thought he's smoothing it out to put a patch over it.
Like, it is for show. The things he said, it's not like you can fucking bring him back online. And it's just like, and then there's the beat. Where it's is she going to fucking do something? Because he's like, this is... So, I was like, okay, Snap happens. Maybe Wakanda's holding on to Vision for X amount of years, right? How long has he had it? Has he had it the whole 5 years? Don't know. Maybe he's had it for 3 years since he took charge and fucking Monica Rambeau's mom, Maria, died. So 3 years he's had Vision, say, and he's like, I got free reign to do whatever I want with Vision. Been trying to get it online. Nothing happens. Oh, shit. This person comes back in the blip, comes back, and he's like, oh, what, I haven't tried. Maybe fucking her magic can bring him back. He's like, maybe I need to just get her to fucking do something to gate energy, to reanimate him or something. I just need something else. Like, he's trying to manipulate the situation to get her to do something to see if he can get this weapon back online. And she says, I can't feel you. In callback to Infinity War, at the beginning, he's all like, I'm having all these things. There's, like, someone in my mind. And she's like, all I can feel is you.
Yeah.
And then she leaves, yeah. But he wanted to get her to do something, and she didn't fall for it. Yeah, she wanted a reaction, some sort of power.
Well, she did, eventually. I mean...
But in a completely different way. It wasn't, like... It wasn't in a way that he was expecting.
Right.
Or wanting, yeah.
I hear you. But yeah, it actually first seemed legit and sincere until that moment you said where he said, whatever, you know, it's not like you can just, you know, or whatever, the line right. that implied, like, hey, can you bring him back?
I'd like
to have him back.
It's not like you're that powerful, are you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one seemed super fishy and out of place. And it also fits with the other sort of scenes where we're seeing that he seems like he's got some scheme underway,
alternate agenda.
Yeah,
but then what we've seen thus far, and not necessarily evil yet or anything like that,
right? But
yes, hard to yes.
And then we finally get to what actually happened to Westview, where, you know, she follows this deed that Vision had given her about where they can grow old together, and that's when she completely breaks and actually creates Vision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was pretty badass. That put all the answers to rest. That was the answer. How he came
of his Negan body and stuff like that.
It was interesting, the colors of the energy that were coming out of her, though.
Yeah, amber was the color of the energy that was coming out.
Amber was the color of your energy.
Right, which was cool. Yeah, so the magic coming out to create Vision was not red chaos magic. So there's a part of me to go like, all right, chaos magic is what you've been using to do a lot of the things. Is there the underlying magic? Is her natural form of magic that, say, she would do if she would have just went along the lines of not being... Was that pure Mind Stone magic that created the Vision of Westview? I kind of think it is.
I think it's a little bit of both. I definitely feel like it's the Mind Stone magic that creates Vision, just because of the color scheme that we got, you know, during the presentation of how he was formed. But to me, from that point on, when we see the hex and we see it blow up, to me it was red, so I was thinking that's all chaos. Now, are they this, you know, I don't know if they really are the same, you know, so, but right. I did think it was two separate
yeah
items, so.
But the fact that earlier in one of the episodes they were able to track Vision from outside by the vibranium decay, you know, basically the ambient radiation that was given, means that she created vibranium by sheer force of fucking power of, you know, her power enhanced by the Mind Stone power, created an actual vibranium signature, and then it was animated by whatever inside the hex. So she created, you know, that she created the rarest earth metal by will alone. It was fucking cool.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And the fact
that... So did she really create him? Or, like, so is there another copy of him in the lab, or...?
Yeah, or did... that...
No, that... You're talking about the end credit scene?
Mm-mm. I'm just asking. I was still believing the story that she grabbed his parts and collected them and put them together.
What, did you watch the end credit scene?
I watched the whole thing, but I may not remember.
Okay, so
it was clear during that scene that the energy coming out of her is what formed Vision. It was not pulling parts in or putting them together. It literally was coming out of her and doing kind of a digitized, if you have a 3D printer, kind of going up, you know, kind of creating him out of the magic. Right.
Well, and we know it after the end credit scene.
They're doing their greatest Matrix impersonation.
Yes, and we know from the after the end credit scene that he has the body and animated it with her magic from the. That he had residual magic from the drone that they sent in.
When she attacked the drone.
Did you miss this after?
Oh, I did. Okay. I got it, but it didn't connect to me.
Okay.
I think my mind held on too much to the idea that she snatched his body. And I was been trying to rectify that, and it wasn't working. And now I'm just like, now as it detangles, it's making more sense.
Yeah, he lies. He's lying.
He was lying. Okay, but yeah, because I was sort of like confused. Like, did she like teleport him? Like, I was actually thinking there was some like
I hear you. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense. Actually, that makes a lot of those things make more sense than they did.
But so I like Westview is an actual town, and it is it is a rundown town, and all the people are there, but they're all just. The colors are muted, and everyone seems a little melancholy. There's, like, half smiles, and then it goes back to, like, kind of sadness, frowns. Basically, it is not bright, and it is not vibrant. It is not a happy place.
I agree, but I almost see this as most of the world, because, you know...
Yeah, yep.
That's the world after the blip, or whatever, where most people have been living for 5 years without half their family, effectively. So most of the world probably is in a melancholy state. So
yeah, I think it's basically like it is. Yeah, it's like I could see each one of them also having a terrible story, but not if they had the powers that she has, would they have done the same thing? And I'm like, quite possibly. These are all because they were all by themselves. They were all lonely. Like no one was with like Herb was by himself, whatever the lady from the beginning, and her husband wasn't there. She was by herself. Yeah. Like there was a lot of loneliness. There was no real couples and stuff like that. And then you find the burned out, it's not burned out house. It's just like a torn down house.
Foundation.
Yeah. Foundation. Used to be a meth house. Upon. Yeah. It was a meth house or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was, but
probably a disc golf house.
A disc golf house. That's what we call it. Meth houses are higher up than disc golf houses.
It's because we don't need walls anyway.
So that last scene, before the end credit scene, is the scene that makes me think that Agatha isn't super evil. Because, she's got her kids prisoner, which we could talk about what reality is. And I fall on the side of I think all these things are real because of the signature with vibranium and stuff. But she says, this is chaos magic. You're dangerous. I feel like she's doing a magical kind of gatekeeper thing here where she's like, you are fucking dangerous. You can rewrite reality or you could write your own reality. I think she's still not a good person. I think she's very mean. I won't say evil, but she's a dark person. But I don't think she's like the big villain here. I think she's doing different things.
Well, but it'll be interesting to see.
I think they're leaving it open.
You know, it depends on what she does next, right? Like saying she's dangerous could be a public service announcement. Oh, you're not as bad as I thought, Agatha. Or it could be, I think you're dangerous. Now let me try my next round of manipulation. And then we'll know is she super evil or
I guess when she called out the fact that you're using chaos magic and then the name that makes you the Scarlet Witch, that kind of like shows that she's scared of that being kind of a thing. Somebody who can create reality, she says, I think.
Could be.
And I mean, I could see it, but that's like when she's holding up those things. You know, if you were to make a rope around something or a tether, why would you need multiple lines coming back up to your hands? That's a position of someone above characters as puppeteering them, in a sense. Like, you know, because those strings are coming down to the back of those kids. So I, you know, could see them going like, you know, they're like this. And all of a sudden they just go like, and they act as parts of, basically they're not, they're constructs of this world, but they are not 100%
real,
like
real outside
good or, you know, on her side. Because, you know, if they are pieces of Mephisto, so which I would still think so, I'm gonna ride the Mephisto train down to the fucking until they roll end credits, and then all of a sudden there's like end credits, and there's like and I'm like, and there's just a hint of red, I'll be like, oh, I was right the whole time. That's an evil laugh right there. But
the whole chaos magic thing made me think that they truly are a manifestation of her and her powers.
Well, after seeing Vision, they haven't given us a different explanation. That's the closest thing they've given us to an explanation of how the kids are being created, was, you know, showing us how Vision was created.
Yeah, and she straight up says you can create reality or something. Right? She doesn't say you can create illusions. She said the Scarlet Witch, or a being that can create reality or something.
I don't think they're being puppeting, because I thought I could see the purple magic going around their necks as they're holding it, and it's, you know, like right here, right underneath them.
They're straining to get to their mom too. Yeah.
But you never know, Dave could be right.
Adam, what did you think?
Which part?
Yeah, okay. Adam's not really paying attention, so...
No, I'm paying attention. I'm
It's cool, man. You can do you.
I'm looking at... There's two movies. So when she changed the... When she created Westviewville...
Yep.
Westview.
Yep.
There was a movie theater that she transformed, and they're playing... Yep. Two movies on the outside. One of them is Kidnapped, which is a Disney film, and the other is Big Red, which is another Disney film. And I was just trying to figure out what the plots of these movies were.
Okay, well, I could say, or you could just be like, Big Red is her. She's the Big Red, and Kidnapped is she kidnapped the town.
Kidnapped is everyone else.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
except for the ones she created.
I mean, there was a previous episode that the movie theater had fucking The Incredibles playing. So I mean,
Oz the Great and Powerful.
Oz the Great and Powerful.
Like Don't Look Behind the Curtain kind of thing. Yeah.
And Fantastic Four, of course.
I did have one question of how they showed us her history. Some of the time she took on the character, and some of the time she watched the character.
Yeah.
What's the difference between those different visions and her different reactions to them, or how she handled herself in them?
I don't know. It's kind of like the dreams where you can, like, where you're in the dream or you're watching the dream. So I think it could be, like, once again, the unreliable narrator thing. Like, if you remember it more closely, like, you take on the role. Or if you remember it a little less, you can just watch. Or it could be also the magic that Agatha is doing, or even doing to herself, her subconscious trying to protect her from not taking on the role. Like, there could be a lot of things, psychological things we could try and draw through it, but it could just be as simple as it's more visually entertaining for us to see it from a certain point of view.
It could be. I don't think the director makes a lot of mistakes with his visuals, though. So I think there's something to why when she's younger and they're calling for Wanda, she's like, "You're on, kiddo," and she walks into the scene as a younger self.
Yeah, I honestly, it felt like
in the end she wanted to have dialogue with her almost on a couple of the other scenes.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like a storytelling technique that was more advanced than anything, honestly. But there might be something to it. But I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, so to support the Chris's theory that she's not 100% evil, it's like, I mean, if you're 100% evil and you don't hold on to your fucking mom's brooch for 400 and some years, or someone that you, like, you know, have been cared about for a long time.
But that's where the power is, right? It's an artifact. Yeah.
It's an artifact.
Yeah.
It's her covenant symbol.
All right, Ryan, you're just going to start making up Marvel artifacts now.
I can.
Man, we can do whatever the fuck we want.
I can do what I want. You don't have the chaos magic. If anyone here was the fucking Scarlet Witch, it would be Adam.
Thank you.
seriously, the chaos was bringing chaos wherever he goes.
You are the Lord of Chaos Mintat, as far as I
know. Because he's the biggest pussy.
So, individually, like, what did you take away from the show that was most interesting to you, or what did you, or thoughts about the show before we move on?
In credits.
Pearl Vision.
The thing that I enjoyed the most is Scarlet Witch has just been her code name for the entire run of I've ever known her. It is Scarlet Witch, Wanda Maximoff. As is Spider-Man, Peter Parker, Doctor Strange, Stephen Strange, so on. Now it is a fucking title. It is a moniker. It is something that is more than what it is. That builds, that makes the universe more to me to say, like, this is fucking something huge. This is something big that if they are making it, you are the Scarlet Witch. This is meaning that it is going to have large repercussions on the surrounding world of the MCU for a long time. You know,
like, I think that statement is telling.
That statement is telling, like, you know, like, it is going to have, we know it's going to have larger repercussions in various movies and so on and so forth, but the fact that this is something that big, like, you don't fucking end an episode by saying you're the Scarlet Witch without meaning something huge. So, and that's what I like, because in the comics, it never said the Scarlet Witch was, like, anything but her moniker and stuff like that. The fact that that I thought was the biggest thing for me personally.
There's, like, lore behind the words the Scarlet Witch. How old was that other witch, Agatha? She 2,000 years old? Was that 1600s?
Well, it was 1693, but we don't know how much older those witches are and stuff like that. Did her drawing power make her so she could live longer? How long did she live at that point?
But being that old, she had that lore even back then about there was the possibility of a Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, I hadn't considered that. But that is interesting. I guess I wasn't looking at the episode as much from how it connects to the universe, because I'm not as good at that. For me, it was more about the story of the season. And I had some critiques of this episode. And it was mostly that it was, like, maybe too short. Like, they kind of blew their load on, like, let's quick tell you how this all works. And it almost felt a bit rushed. It felt like the build-up... You know, like, we need to wrap this episode up, and, you know, like, let's quick get to these things. And then, I mean, I think the theme of grief throughout was I did like Vision's. Vision seems to, my view of Vision continues to go up, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know where Wanda's at, but Vision seems like pure goodness, you know, more and more. So I like Vision more. Wanda was fine. She just didn't get... Like, I guess, I don't know. She's acted so great this season, but some of the scenes where she was acting out grief, you know, they didn't seem as... They didn't come through right to me. And the whole grief theme felt more personal, I felt like. So, it, like, I don't know. So, it, like, it was kind of like... maybe I was on edge for the, like, distinctions or something there, but... I almost wish there was just a little bit longer, and they would have just done the same thing, but slightly better, like across the board. You know what I mean?
It's funny that you said you thought it was too short when it happened to be the longest episode that we've had so far.
Wow.
There's nothing wrong with wanting more of something that's been so good.
Yeah, so, right.
You know, it's been really good. My takeaway from this was, even though the previous episode was, it was Agatha all along, right? Top Billboard song of the week or something like that. It's really weird.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
But I still don't get the sense that it is her all along. Like, I get the sense that she's really just there to investigate, to find out what happened, what's going on. And now that she finally knows what's going on, you know, something else is going to manifest with tomorrow's episode.
So you don't think, well,
something's going to happen between the two of them. Something's going to happen. And they, I don't know, to Dave's point, they open a portal and Mephisto walks out. I don't know.
How does Sword connect in with Agatha? I think they're somehow intertwined somehow. Like, she was planted by the fucking general or colonel or whoever.
We never got a payoff to "I have an acid inside." We never got a payoff to that.
Mm-hmm. We don't know.
We haven't got that payoff. We didn't see Photon at all this episode, right?
Right.
Well, they redeemed her to me though. That's one thing to note is like, I thought Agatha came off as pretty cheesy at the end of the previous episode, like cheesy ass. Go away, please. I don't like you. Kind of that level cheesy. I didn't like it at all.
How do we mute Ryan?
But then they redeemed it hardcore with the intro. Like, I totally switched. Now she wasn't cheesy. She was just playing a role that she had fun with in her sort of powerful, magic-y, manipulative ways.
She got her sitcom.
Yeah, she was cool. I actually liked her when that intro was really redeemed her. Made her an interesting character.
The end of last week's episode definitely felt, or the end of the previous episode definitely felt like a sitcom ending, right? Like, here's the surprise sitcom twist, it was Agatha all along. But then, yes, they got more serious this week with it, which definitely explains why Ryan felt that way.
Right. And because that previous episode made it so like, haha, it was Agatha all along, and they made it so it was such a blatant thing. It would make it even more fun if it wasn't her all along. It was basically, it would make it more fun to me, like, sure, in her head, or not in her necessarily in her head, from her point of view, she was manipulating all these things. But then it would be even better if there was something one more of one level higher that was also manipulating everything else. So it was
when do you stop, Dave? When do you stop? Because that person may be manipulated.
The Eternals are manipulating somebody.
Okay, so like I can actually think of, like, there is a there is a hierarchy all the way up to the one above all in the Marvel Universe. So there is a stopping point, right? So we can only get too high.
Is it the Darkhold?
And that is Thanos.
Oh wait, that is Stanley. He's effectively the god of the world. It's like the one above all. You don't know what he looks like, but everyone knows who he is.
Well, and I think that's where potentially, Dave, the end credit scenes come in, right? We know Director Hayward's been up to something. Everyone's been digging into it. And now we finally get it. We've talked a little bit. We've alluded to it. We now have white vision.
Right. Yep.
Oh, it's not Pearl Vision?
No.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I hate to burst that.
It's double vision.
That was the first thing my wife said. I did not laugh, and she's like, she's been trying to get me to laugh on that for 2 days. So I had to see who
but was. So there's a part of me that so that's the funny joke. Like he was on Paul Bettany was on Good Morning America, and he's all like, they're like. You know that, and they were talking about, you know that thing where you were saying, like, you're going to work with an actor that you've never worked with before, and he's so great, and stuff like that, and it was you. And he's all like, yeah, you know when you tell a joke and you think it's super funny to yourself, and stuff like that? But then everyone's all like, but you could still be trolling us right now, and then he's all like, my internet is like, is going out. So, I think it's because that is a, you know, sure, he could be, he's a good, you know, great actor, stuff like that, could be playing a role. And if someone wrote that out and said, like, hey, say these things because of this, and he's like, oh, that's really good. But then it also makes me want to have one more thing, you know, the one more twist of someone else. But White Vision's cool. Because that's some West Coast Avengers shit, man. Where his body got right, yeah, like where he got ripped apart and they rebuilt, and they're like, "Hey, man, Vision's back," and he's like, "No, it's just a fucking husk of Vision. He's got no soul in him anymore.
He's got
just
a
fucking weapon." Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we're done with Pietro.
Pietro. It's Pietro.
Fake Pietro.
Like fucking right, fake Pietro. Pietro. It's not like I could use necromancy to bring him back. He's on a different continent. No, and he's got bullet holes.
But they didn't create that body. Where did that body come from, and who? What's his story?
Transmutation.
How did he get there?
Remember, changing it from something else. And yeah, that rabbit. But rabbits don't eat birds or bugs.
She had a very small ability of transmutation. She was saying, hey, it's been taking me 1,000 years to learn this. You know,
Mickey's stuck on that she's thousands of years old.
And Mickey's...
From the previous episode with Agatha's controlling him from behind.
Yeah.
Right.
No, but controlling and transmutation are two different
things. I thought I saw
yeah.
like, a purple
That's why I'm saying that fucking book that they looked at for just a split second.
You mean the Darkhold?
2 seconds. Hell yeah, that's the fucking Darkhold.
It's the Darkhold.
You don't look at that book and just have a fucking magic book sitting there glowing, radiation, not deal with it. Even if they have the end credits where that book falls over and fucking flips through a bunch of pages and says a fucking name, Mephisto, on it, I'll be happy with that. I'm fine with that, too.
You so need to be right on that, don't you?
No, I don't need to be right. I'm going to be right. I'm willing it into fucking... I am chaos magicing it into fruition.
When I was at Micro Center today...
Ended with it.
I was at Micro Center this week. They got these blue snowball mics on sale for $50, and I'm definitely getting Mickey one because, good lord, man, what is happening with your fucking... It's like you go in and out of a tunnel. I don't understand it.
My jack is fucked.
Now you're okay. See, definitely getting you a wireless mic or something.
I just went down and messed with my jack.
That's what she said.
Jacked your mic?
Yeah. Ryan, I think I know why you think it was too short, even though it was the longest. I think each of the scenes was really good, and they each needed to be fleshed out. Or they could have been fleshed out more in a way to make them seem like nothing happened in this show. Like all we got is past, right? We didn't get any kind of movement on or anything. But I honestly thought this was, you know, some episodes are really good and some are bad. This was one of my favorites just because it dealt with shit like grief really well. And when they were sitting in the room together talking, the two things I'll take away from this, when they were sitting in the room together talking, and Vision is looking at the TV and she's just looking at him for like a longer than it's comfortable, even though he looks back a few times or something. And that really made me like right there. You could tell she's seen something in him that she's never seen before. I thought that was excellent acting, and all it was just kind of looking, which I thought was really good. Her grief seemed completely real to me, because when the grief is real, you're just numb, right? You don't feel sad. You just don't feel anything, which is actually worse. And which reminded me of when she broke into the lab and she touches her, as Dave too was saying, she says, "I don't feel anything." And if anybody's ever been to a funeral, like a grandpa or someone who is really close to you, when you go to and you're at their body, that's what you feel. You don't feel them anymore. And even though they're right there, and that spoke to me, really. Like, it made the episode really sad in a way. But, you know, sadness can be good, too. In the same way, like, The Good Place. The last episode of The Good Place deals with grief and loss in the same way and just makes you kind of, you know, take stock in everything and stuff. It was really good. And we only got, I mean, technically, 2 hours and 15 minutes until it starts. If you want to stay up and watch it, I'm just saying I won't be able to watch it till like Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening. But if you guys wanted to like spoil the shit out of it, you could just wait 2 hours and do it.
I want to be a little clear that I didn't think it was bad at all. In fact, I thought because it was good, that's why. Like going from good scene to good scene, each with depth and like importance to the story, so quickly.
Yeah.
Like, normally you get, like, a pause where you're like, okay, we did something big. Now there's a, like, levity and a moment of pause. And it was just, like, so fast that it felt like they just, like, machine gunned some of that. And the same thing with the grief. It was almost, to me, like, a reverent thing. Like, it's probably unfair. Like, it felt personal, so it felt like, if you're going to do this, you better do it perfect. Because... you know, I'm imagining how people feel about this and stuff, and I'm thinking you better do it perfect. And it maybe wasn't long enough to be perfect, and that's all. It wasn't that it wasn't good. It was like, these things that are important should get their proper time, and I don't care about how long the show's supposed to be, you know. I guess that's where I came from, that perspective.
I would agree. And that's what I was saying, how they all deserve to be fleshed out more, or at least, but, you know, the show is 50 minutes. For 8 of that is fucking credits, so.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think, Adam?
I can hardly wait till the next one.
Well, you got 2 hours. You can stay up?
No.
Me either.
That would be surprising. If only one of us stayed up and it was Adam, I would be.
That would be pretty impressive, yes. All right, cool. Guys, awesome. Thanks for talking WandaVision for like an hour and a half. I noticed like we generally spend more time talking about it than actually the show is on each week, which is kind of, I don't know what that says exactly about us, because there's so much more we could go into. Is Vision going to fight Vision? Is another thing going to happen? What's going to happen? Oh my God, is one Vision going to die? Yeah, there's a million things we could talk about. But I mean, come on, Adam's got to get up in the morning.
I'm thinking that one Vision assimilates into the other Vision, creating a full Vision.
Could be.
They're going to fight each other.
No. Because he can transmorph and like change his density, and he can absorb into whatever.
Did she completely change the market price of vibranium?
Probably a little.
Because she can create
once word gets out. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Cool. All right. Did you guys do anything else this week, or just like wait for WandaVision to come out? Because that's what I was been doing. So.
Also, one more thing, real quick. How much do you think they get paid for being Avengers?
Seven.
Because they don't have a job.
Yeah.
How's he afford this fucking house?
I'm sure.
He's literally an Avenger. That's his job.
You get a free ride.
I'm sure, like they said, hey, Mr. Stark, buy me this property, and Mr. Stark bought the property. That reminds me.
Or he just manipulated computers and got it.
That's true. That reminds me. That property, people were like, I saw memes, and they'd be like, this is the best you could do for her, or whatever, this shitty little thing in Westview. I have a theory, because you know I love my theories, that being a super computer, basically, he can predict within, like, extrapolate in the future that this will be one of the most important pieces of property in the future of humankind, and that's why he purchased it for her.
I was just thinking it's in a small little town of nowhere where no one would find that.
That too, and it has the benefit of being the most important piece of property in the world.
If he was going to be Ultron fucking gave billions of dollars to fucking Claw before he chopped his hand off earlier. So I was like, this is billions of dollars. He's like, okay, now you're a billionaire. And then he got mad at him and chopped off his arm. So I was like, yes, he could just do that too. It's like, he could just take money from things because it's just ones and zeros.
He's a giant computer program that does whatever the fuck he wants, of course.
Pretty much.
But then the problem, he might feel bad about it because bad about things.
He definitely would, because he's
a freaking paladin.
He is a hero. Yes, he is a. Yeah,
yes, he can pick up Mjolnir. He is worthy.
So I like.
What if he took it from like a bank that account of some criminals?
Ooh, yeah.
That'd be a simple win-win, right?
Yeah.
Fucking a mob bank from the beginning. They're in New Jersey. A mob bank is probably there.
Yeah.
The land was up for sheriff auction for a dollar anyway. There was nothing on it. It was a meth house.
Right. No, it's not a meth house. Those are worth disc more golf. Money. It's disc a golf. Disc golf house.
Did anybody watch Coming to America 2? Came out today instead of tomorrow.
Well, yeah. We're watching it. I'm going to watch it tomorrow. But yes, that is on my to-do list.
This weekend. Not till
it looks fun, doesn't it? Look fun. I watched the first one just to get myself back spun up, even though I've seen that movie a bajillion times.
The trailer looked hilarious, actually. Like, it looked way better than it's. You could make it look bad, and it looked good.
Looked good. I asked Amy. I've always liked Coming to America. It's one of my movies that I grew up on. So, do you want me to wait for you to watch it? And she's like, "Of course, yes." And I was like, "What?" But I don't know. He might have done something bad, like call somebody gay in 1984, so you no longer watch anything he does. I don't fucking know.
I'm right. Pretty sure it's standalone. Like,
did you say that? Did she just roll her eyes?
Jesus Christ. I said it through text.
Oh, okay. Did she send you a roll your eyes emoji?
Yes, she did.
Okay. Because that movie's really fucking funny, dude. Like, that first one. It's so ridiculous that they, like, literally live in fucking Wakanda. They're, like, so rich, and they're great. It's like, sure, they're technologically advanced in the United States. They have everything that we have. I mean, we don't see what the fucking poor people look like, because that's not part
of
the thing.
They're all amazing.
You're right. But whoever raised him which wasn't his parents. We know that it was some sucking a bunch of nannies or something, because the parents were down at the end of the fucking table. Mm-hmm. It's like, you do not have sex with your bathers? And shit like that. I'm like, whoever raised him did a good job, man. He's like a legit, like, good person. He's not a bad person at all. Like, he doesn't do bad things.
Yeah. As a side note to the royal bathers and the royal penis being clean, this evening when I left the bedroom, Leander said, "Dad, my penis is big." And I said, "Yeah, that's an erection. It happens." So Adonis said, "I'm going to make my penis big." And Leander said, "I did it myself. We could both do it. Let's talk about it." And then I left, and they were just sitting there talking about how to make their penis.
Oh,
boys.
Twin bonding.
We've explained the word erection, but Leo goes back to the term pointy penis. That's his preferred. Yeah. Got a pointy one.
Did he ask him which way it points?
I did not.
So yeah, that's out now. Came out, it's supposed to come out tomorrow. Comes out tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going. My sister rented a theater to see the Dragon movie.
Yes, that's what I'm watching tomorrow night. So we're gonna
do that with the family, which looks kind of fun. And then Saturday we'll get WandaVision. So Coming to America may not be till like Sunday or next week or something, which kind of sad. But
we're trying to tomorrow with the Dragon movie. The first time we're trying to watch it all together on Netflix.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Kind of simulcast. Cool.
It's not on Netflix, is it?
Disney.
Yeah, I was saying Disney Plus Premium.
But they offer it for simulcast or watch together.
That'd be kind of fun.
In Disney.
This weekend is the first Twitch thing of Valheim PvP tournament.
That's fucking Ryan as an archer would be hiding. Like,
that's what they need to do for this, is just be like, put a bunch of weapons in the middle, drop everybody off.
So here's what happens.
Put them in a big cone.
Hunger Games. So two teams, they load into the server. They're completely bereft of anything. You're starting off brand new. You can't have anything with you. One team heads west, one team heads east. They get an hour to build their base and build up whatever they can in that hour. One rule is each person has to have a bed, and all the beds for your team has to be in one location within your base. During that hour build phase, you can also like go out and try to scout the other side if you need to. Then after the hour's up, teams take turn attacking each other, and the goal is, if you're the attacking team, is to get into their base and destroy the beds, destroy their spawn point. If you're able to destroy them, because they all have to be together in one location, they can't be spread out. If you're able to destroy them, you win that round. If you aren't, then the defending team wins that round. And I think it's like best out of three or something like that.
Okay.
So
that's cool. I like playing that game with you guys. I don't so much like playing it by myself, so I don't usually do that. But I hate watching people stream it, and everybody is streaming it right now. I don't know why. I don't find it as much fun to watch. I'd rather do it with people.
Million. 5 million players.
In the first month.
And it's early access still.
Yeah. Yeah, they did something right. I don't know what, but they did something right.
I'm amazed that servers are staying up, actually. Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
From that perspective, is pretty impressive.
I enjoy the solitude of when I play.
For some reason, I don't. I don't know why. I just think, man, I could be doing this with friends. I could be rolling around. Dave could be making all the copper stuff for himself or bronze stuff for himself. All right, cool. So that's happening this weekend, you said?
Yeah, Sunday. What else did I see? So Mr. Star Trek Lens Flare Man, J.J. Abrams, is supposedly heading up the Superman reboot.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yep.
So,
anything else about the information, or that's it? Just that he's doing stuff.
That's pretty much it. They're in the works of doing it. There's no news on casting or anything like that.
Because they gave him a shit ton of money to do this movies over there, right?
Yeah.
I
don't remember how much, but they gave a lot. They're like, "Work for us only. Here's a bajillion dollars." And he's like, "All right." I'm not sure how I feel about it. I don't love fucking Superman.
I, I don't know. Like, Superman's cool and stuff, and like, I like him, but like, I just don't know where I want to go. Superman's not like the most interesting character. There's like a million. Sure, there's the big seven that everyone could work with, but there's so many cool smaller characters. Like, if they did like the low level guys in DC, I think that would be so much cooler.
Oh, yeah, so you'd have to do something different. Speaking of which, did anybody watch the new Superman show, which apparently it's just about him and Lois being married and they have kids and shit?
I watched the first episode.
How was it?
I thought it was good. I thought it was very interesting dynamic. It's taking place many years after the whole Crisis thing, because their kids are teenagers.
Oh, really?
And they're twins.
Do they have like powers, or
are they wonderful?
That's what happens in the first episode, is we find out all about that.
Okay, I won't. Don't spoil it then. Yeah. We don't want Ryan getting spoiled on this stuff.
Right. Oh yeah, because Ryan's gonna watch a CW show besides 100.
Yeah, you never know.
He's gonna watch all 100 episodes of it.
He's still got 6 seasons of 100 to get through before he starts anything else.
I am on season 6 now.
Did they end it at exactly 100 episodes?
So, like, how can he tear through that show? But when we said, like, hey man, watch one episode of this show a week, and he's like, can't do it.
Because he does it with his family. As long you have more time with your family than you do alone.
And that was before
I think they're sleeping right now, yeah.
Yeah, he's doing a podcast. The motherfucker works hard, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Other than Adam,
talk about? Anyways, he's the most hardworking
person.
He works so hard, he's got no time to go outside.
It's true. That's why he doesn't care about the outside.
I don't. So I was just fighting because I felt bad about my...
Unlike Mickey, who loves the outside like crazy.
Yeah, he's the greatest outside.
He's the greatest outdoors man ever.
Like,
I don't want to toot my own horn, but I've spent more time outside than the rest of you.
You seen Bear Grylls? I call him Bear Dummy because I'm more of an outside guy.
Like, has anyone drank their own pee more than me? I don't think so.
I do it just because I can.
Ben, right?
He's probably done it just as much as me.
What is the name of the Superman show right now? I don't even know. Superman, Clark and Lois or something? Or
Superman and Lois.
Superman and Lois.
The new adventures of Lois and Clark.
Yeah, that one too. But they could do something interesting. I'm sure somebody has a take on Superman in the comics that's completely different. You know, I don't know what it would be, but... I don't know. I'm sure there's something out there that's not just the standard white dude from Kansas doing stuff. They could probably think of something. I'm sure they've done a comic.
Michael B. Jordan's wanted to play a black Superman.
Sure. So that completely changes the dynamic. You got to figure out what you want to do with that. Yeah.
They have the fucking multiverse in there.
That's what I mean.
DC Comics. Yeah.
Yeah. You could do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, like there was a black Superman who was also the president of Earth in one universe. And I'm like, good, make it happen. Camacho?
they already have the new rebooted Superman going. It was that one horror film rendition.
Yeah, see, and that could just be another universe.
This is two part two.
Oh, wait, wasn't that Brightburn? Is that what that was?
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Brightburn.
Actually,
I like
that one.
That shit was creepy.
It was good, dude. It was good. There's like the one part Ryan was grossed out upon, like real bad.
Yeah, it ends. I do remember the ending. Yeah, actually, okay.
The ending was bleak.
Hey, speaking of burning people's eyes out, like, what's that show that everyone watched? The Boys? That show, right?
Yeah.
My father-in-law really liked that show. He just got around to finishing season one, and then he watched season two. He's like, this is a good show. And I was like, huh. I didn't think this would be your thing, but that's good to know.
Did he finish season two before Adam did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't started season two.
Adam didn't know there was a season two. He's like, when's season two coming on?
What? Yep. And then I started Watchmen, and I got hooked on Watchmen.
Yeah, that's good shit.
Oh, that's a good show. They got some good episodes.
Do you ever wonder...
Two good shows I'm watching.
I didn't think it would be cool if you could just be like put a camera in your friend's house just to watch them dress. I mean, just to watch their life and see what their lives are like and get dressed.
Sex. It's all about penis size.
Well, I want to, I would just record Ryan and just have a timer and see, how much he, looks in the mirror at his face and be like, yeah, I'm looking pretty good.
How much problem with watching sex with Ryan is that it's probably always in the dark.
And there's covers over everybody.
Everybody's covered. It's in the dark. You're not going to see a thing.
Speaking of which, has anybody ever...
the approved positions.
Has anybody... Have we checked the manual? Let's check the manual. This is not approved. Has anybody ever thanked their wife from sex afterwards?
All the time.
Really? You said thank you for the sex.
I said thank you. Yeah, that was awesome. Thanks.
Thanks. All right. You can go now.
I caught myself.
Usually when I talk her into doing something new.
Oh, okay.
And she does it, and she does it well, you know.
There's the key.
I caught myself the other day. I was like, I went downstairs. I was like, hey, thanks for the sex. And then I went downstairs. And I felt dirty in a way, but I was like, what? What do you want me to say?
Hey, well, next time, throw some money and see what happens. How that rolls.
What would that go over so well?
No, she'd just take it and be like, all right, I'd do it for free, but I'll take the cash.
This time you go like, okay, cool, and then just like a handful of change. That's what I got.
Candy.
Ryan, how many positions are in the manual for approved? Is it one or two?
There's one approved, and the rest are completely banned. It's too exotic.
Oddly enough, the approved one is anal, though. I don't know how the kids got me.
I was talking to Amber the other day, and she told me when you guys were in Mississippi, you drew on a white sheet, and everything was open.
Well, you're a different state. It doesn't count, right?
Yeah, and you're covered. Who knows who it is?
Yeah.
Ryan's like, I got hoes and different area codes.
Dave, too, get us back on track. What else did you read is happening?
Okay, so Hugh Grant is now also starring in the Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Fuck yeah, he will be.
Does he complete us? No, that's not
no.
it.
No.
It? It's a bunch of celebrities. So it got me thinking, and I saw this also posted on Twitter the other day.
No, that sucks.
What if the movie itself is a bunch of dudes sitting around a table reminiscing, yep, playing the game, and this, you know, and as they're playing, is that's also the scenes then that we get the live action scenes of what they're narrating as the characters
doing.
Yeah,
you could do something cool there, I think. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
as long as he's what's that?
I was gonna say it's been 20 years since the first one came out.
We don't talk about that. Right. It's like Klingons.
I think that would be super fun. So it's like, yeah, you could have, you know, it bleed over, so they're talking about it. The scene starts with their characters, and they could be using their voices, and then all of it goes further into the scenes when they're like, mm-hmm, you know, like I'm talking in a British accent, and it's like, of course, and then you're like, and then it's just them talking and stuff like that. I think it could be very fun because I mean, it is the guys who wrote like Game Night and stuff like that, so it's like they are comedy writers, and I think that would be a very fun trope to get into.
Yeah,
and I could totally see it being six guys coming together. They haven't played in a while.
You could have a female together, too, I guess.
It's been a pan. Yeah, okay. One of the guys.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's six guys who come together. It's been a while since they played. There was like a pandemic or something. They're finally able to get together and play. You know, it just happens to be on a Tuesday night. Getting away from their wives and kids for a time.
Things go crazy. Pants come off. I understand, man.
There's snack cakes on the table.
As long,
I like the idea.
As long as he's just a warlock standing in front of an ancient one, asking him to teach him.
Exactly, shit like that. Like if you write jokes specifically for
the actors.
Yes, the actors to make jokes like that. That is like then it's high level meta writing for the actors to.
That'd be fun. It'd be great if it's like, yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, because it's like the jokes where, like, the kick-ass joke was a fucking great joke in WandaVision because the actors weren't fucking kick-ass together.
Yeah.
That was a super good joke.
I forgot about that one.
Yes. Also, so we're basically just a little over 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks from 2 weeks. Is from Justice League coming out and on HBO Max, and so we're getting more and more information about the movies. The movie will be broken up into there'll be six. It's not going to be the movie's going to be watched as a whole, but it will be there will be title cards as the movie is broken into six parts effectively. So there will be titles for each chapter of the movie.
That's interesting.
So I mean, it would give you stopping points if
natural
you really
stopping
wanted
points
to.
If you want them.
Right. Yep. So yes. So what is it? Part one is called "Don't Count on It, Batman." Part two is "The Age of Heroes." Part 3 is Beloved Mother, Beloved Son. Part 4 is Change Machine. Part 5 is All the King's Horses. And Part 6 is Something Darker. So, which is cool. It's like... And it's like... It looks like it's just gonna just be weird, man. Like, I'm just looking forward to how fucking weird it goes when someone shows up 5 years after, you know, effectively, it's about 5 years after the original making of something and says, like, fans say, hey, give us, you know, make this, release this thing. And then someone says, okay, I'll give you, like, $20 million. No, 30. $70 million to add to this movie that's art. And you're like, that's a fucking have so much confidence in something that's going to draw at least 70. They're going to get a return of $70 million at least that they're happy with. Yeah. That's crazy to me to be like, all right, your thing. Here you go.
Who is that company? HBO, right?
Yeah. It's Warner Brothers, which is, yeah.
Right. Excuse me. Speaking of which, Paramount Plus launched today. Basically just rebranded from CBS All Access. If you don't have Paramount Plus or CBS All Access or have access to somebody who does, and you're interested in the Picard series, you can watch the first episode on YouTube, Paramount Plus's YouTube channel for free. So if you just want to go to their YouTube channel and you feel like watching the first season, it was pretty good.
Yeah. So Tiffany has been she's been a big fan and watched The Real World and shit like that. She just really loves that show and stuff like that. So she was super excited. And I was like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go cancel CBS All Access right now. Read that, like, last night. And then I re-downloaded, like, you know, Paramount Plus, and then just bought a year of it. Because they were like, if you buy it in a year, you get 15% or 20% off. But then, especially if you put Paramount Plus as the password, you basically get a whole year for half price. So I got like a whole, yeah, so it was like $30 for a whole year of limited commercial, and then it was like $50 for no commercial, so it was like $50 for a whole year, I'll just buy $50 for a whole year.
Yeah, it breaks down to a few bucks a month, so if you're okay with that. Then...
Yeah, it was so little, and then, so she was excited because they were going to have like the first season of Real World, they're,
cast.
Like the original cast is like having like a reunion and they're moving in and stuff like that. She got so excited. She was like, on her way home, she locked herself out of the house because she was like, she was excited. She like got home and she like called me and I was busy and I didn't answer the phone. And then she's like, oh, never mind. And I listened to, and I called her back. I was like, what? What did you need? She's like, yeah, I got excited and I was like getting stuff. And then I just like left the house and like locked myself out. And I was like, oh, well, there's keys inside here, you know. And she's like, yeah, I know, I found them after I really thought about it. And I was like, yeah.
Wait. You're trying to? I never watched that show, but you're trying to tell me the entire cast from the first episode or first season of Real World never went on to do anything, so they could bring them all back?
Oh, a lot of them went on to do like regular human things. Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. But they didn't like. Yeah. They weren't so busy in 2021 that they all couldn't come back and live.
Yeah,
together.
I know, right.
They offered him enough money to where they all said yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
$8.
But it's funny because, whatever, 30 years? So it's like, all right, they were all like 18, 19, 20. So it's like you're 50 years old now and it's like you've got your family and stuff like that. And you're like, I'm going to just go away for a little while and like live in a house with these. But I mean, that's always been a cool concept for a thing just to be like, hey, all these disparate parts of you come together and you see how they react to each other and stuff like that. But yeah, so she was really excited about that, which is funny.
She'll have to give us a review. Tiffany, give us a review, because yeah, I guarantee none of us are going to get into it probably.
Right. And I'm like, I'm glad that you can watch that and have fun. And she was like, I'll give you $50 or whatever for the, and I'm like, I don't care about money. Like, in the, it was like, is this show worth $50 to you? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, all right, cool.
I don't care about money, but I'll take a blowjob.
Blowjob for money. A money blowjob. Ryan gets super uncomfortable with that.
No, I just
it's not approved position.
Not one of the approved.
Not approved. You need a special written consent for that.
From your mom.
No, that one actually just reminded me of the show. What's the show with Paul Rudd?
Your mom or Penlingus?
Paul Rudd and that other guy, and he's doing a speech.
I love you, man. Like,
I love you, man. Where he just dropped the blowjob thing. He was like, well, know, like he does back. You.
Give yes. back.
I like that. I like that.
Speaking of crappy shows, speaking of crappy shows your wife watches, Amy has really got into RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay.
Do you know how many seasons of that show there are?
Like a lot. I think there's like two or three a year or something.
There's 13, yeah. Not including the spinoff shows. I'm like, holy fuck.
Huh. I haven't watched one.
Me either.
So. Don't think I could pick out RuPaul in a real drag race.
Good.
That's
because you know what RuPaul looks like.
Yeah, RuPaul. I would pick up RuPaul. Tucker, no Tucker.
You're like, what are you like? You're 7 feet tall with your fucking hair and heels on and shit. You're like a big damn woman. Of course I could pick you out.
You're a big fine woman, but back then. Anyways, what else? Anything else going on in the world, or is that about it?
Unity Murphy, transvestites.
Other than that, I don't think so. We are. Getting, oh yeah, so I got number 2 vaccine, so I'm a vaccinated man now.
Get it.
Congratulations.
So we can all hang out with you without worrying about giving it to you.
Yeah.
Mickey, you should be next.
Yeah, I don't know where I am on the list. We're not on
second to last for some reason.
We did not get any special consideration for my job.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You should get a part-time job at my place, and you can get vaccinated all you want.
Right? I guess you're going to be at the bottom, then.
I'm fine with it. I'll be the last person.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a significant... I mean, because right now, what is it, like... It's basically 1 in 6 people in Minnesota have gotten it right now, at least one dose. It was... Yeah, it's like 15.7%. So, yep. it's a steady ramp. Ryan's at the bottom, though.
It is true, and it's too bad. I would happily.
No, it's not too bad.
No, it is. Not bad. Can't play D&D until Ryan.
Too bad because I would really like it that everybody. I guess I wish the list went through faster. That's all.
Yeah, because you want people to get microchips in their bloodstream. You government shill. Jesus criminy.
Yeah, I don't know where Mickey's coming from on his fear for the vaccine. Or maybe not fear, but...
I love the FDA when they're forced to do things quickly. It's awesome.
That's why you get the Johnson & Johnson one. It was slow.
Yep, because that's not quick.
Anyhow, are we done? I think we're done, yes?
But I did like the Catholic Church was all like, hey, if you have a choice over getting a vaccine, don't get the Johnson & Johnson one. That one's morally compromised. Like, more because it uses fetal cells in its creation. They're
really?
Like, yeah. But fetal cells from an embryo from 1985.
Yeah.
They've been replicating cells from 1985.
Yeah. No. I'm not buying it. I just think it's a weird thing to even say. So that's interesting.
But the cool part is they say, like, if you have a choice. But they're like, just so you know, you can, if you have no choice, just get a vaccine, which was cool. They were just like, hey, if you have a choice, we'd rather you not get this one. But if you can't, there are no choices, just get a vaccine.
Yeah,
no,
we didn't have a choice. It was like, this is the one we're giving. Like, I'm going to wait out for the other one because my church tells me to. All right, you want to go see God earlier? I can do that. Cool. I'm done. I hope you guys are too because we got shit to do, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm spent.
All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Adam, where can people get in touch with us?
Oh, Chris, if you want to give us info about the shots that nobody wants to take, drop us an email at Geeks Next Door. I fucked that up. Geeks Next Door. We got a website, geeksnextdoor.xyz. Let's see, we're on Facebook at the Geeks Next Door, and drop us an email at geeksnextdoorftw. That's for the win, Chris, at gmail.com.
Let's be honest. If you're listening, you know how to get in touch with us. You don't need Adam to regurgitate it because he missed most of it. But he got some of it, too. Good job. So that's it. I hope we get another cool email like we got last week from the best persons ever. So everybody have a good week. Bye.
You're welcome.
See ya.